are we all headed to go visit Zug, or are some of us staying on mission?
I mean, this is my mission, so...
I think it's mostly, at this point, my question, I guess, at this point is, Goro, are you going to go visit Zug out of curiosity, or a desire to stay with the rest of the group? Or are you and Clementine headed to further shores?
I think Goro is probably too caught up in his mission to really be paying attention to what these nut jobs are talking about on phones and whatnot.
Okay. Alright, so yeah, you and Clementine split away, essentially, right? These guys are going to head one direction to the mall, you're going to head the other direction. Goro, you and Clementine still has so many questions. She has a question about what just went down, what that conversation was about. Does that octopus really eat people? That seems bad. Why are you hanging out with something that eats people?
Everyone eats something. We tend to keep him around so we can make sure we keep an eye on him. Make sure he's...
You get like an I'm 15 and that was super deep. So everybody eats something, right? Like, oh, yeah. Okay. Do you eat people?
I have not.
I'm going to be real with you. That... She doesn't know any better. That's kind of a racist question for you. Because your species does, in fact,
yeah.
Eat people.
Yeah, I was going to beat her on the bush on that one.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure if that was still a thing that
yes,
we were...
Yes, I do
yes.
Remember that.
Okay. I mean, yeah, she'll accept whatever your answer is, but like... Okay. What does the robot guy eat, though?
I don't think we've seen him eat anything. I think he just plugs it in.
Really? Like...
Pancakes.
Oh, wow. That's wild. And I don't even know if she conceptualizes Tink as a member of the party, right?
Tink's a force of nature that just comes and blows through.
Yeah. Yeah, Tink shows up, things get smashed, Tink wanders away. I don't know if she's been, like, conscious and while that's going on. But yeah, you, Goro and Clementine are going to head down, like, this, like, plaza hallway of the mall, mm-hmm. right? Where you're walking and there's stores on your side. And there's all of these stores have been like repurposed. Some of them they kind of stuck fairly close, like the Foot Locker is like clothing, right? Like including boots and things. Sure. Then you get to I'm gonna say it's like a software, etc., right? That has been turned into essentially a flea market.
Okay.
Right? And it turns out that in the post-apocalypse, things like painting supplies, not a huge priority in terms of firing back up manufacturing. Right? So you're gonna be getting a lot of them from like junk dealers.
Sure.
And this seems like a likely place, right? So you and Clementine head in. Do you let her separate from you while you're here? Or does she have to stay with you the whole time? Like, how helicopter a loco parentis are you going to be?
I think it's going to be more like showing the ropes and how to, you know, navigate through these sort of places. Because I imagine Goro's had to go through this kind of thing before to get his supplies, so...
Yes, and literally, sorry.
Yeah, no, I was just going to say, yeah, I think it's more like a teaching thing again, still.
Okay, cool. Yeah, and you're literally navigating because you are gigantic. And these aisles are not sized for you, necessarily. So it looks like movie? This real deep cut. Where Tom Selleck goes to play baseball in Japan. Right,
Mr. Baseball.
Everything is the wrong. Yeah, Mr. Baseball, where everything's
except...
the wrong size for him.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Same deal, but Goro has four arms and a demon sword strapped to his back, so different vibe. And she is enthralled by all the, like, old stuff. Because she will explain to you, yeah, we weren't allowed to have any of these things back home. Like, we couldn't have this. And she picks up, like, the stupidest possible thing. Like an old Archie comic or something.
Tamagotchi.
Right? It's like, this is seditious material. This is wild. And so, yeah, you're going to go. We'll come back to you. You are on a shopping trip with a teenager who has no exposure to any of the things you're going to be shopping with. That's where you're at. Everyone else, we're headed to Zug's Emporium, right?
For now.
Okay. So, you get to Zug's Emporium, and as you walk up to the front door, the open sign flips off, right? And the windows have already been made opaque. Those of you who were here before, like Tink and Gug, you've already seen this trick, right? Zug has a way of making the inside of the shop not visible to the outside of the shop, right? But the door is still open.
Yeah, okay. Hello?
Is anybody here?
You walk through, and Zug is standing behind the counter. And so this place is full of technological knick-knackery, right? Somebody who is Vernulian, like Gug, recognizes a bunch of it as just like Vernulian consumer electronics, right? The equivalent of like a universal remote for Vernulian television, or like a back massager, right? Like sharper image, but Vernulia, right? There's also a lot of like things that are obviously recognizable to all three of you as techno wizard items, and most of those appear to be designed for use by more mammalian framed individuals, and that appears to be probably what Zug does most of their business on. So you walk in, and Zug makes eye contact and eye contact and eye contact, because there's like, again, like seven or eight eyes, with Gug, and it's like, what the hell, man? Snake, whatever the Vernulian man is, right? Like octopus thing.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's translated by automatically into the local dialect. It's fine.
Yes, yes.
You're gonna have to narrow it down.
I have had. Look, are they cool? And sort of like points at your group.
Very cool. The coolest.
Okay. I have had. You know, he'll look each of you over. And he's like, even that guy? And, like, the High Magus has followed you in and is, like, looking at stock in the back wall.
Oh, yeah, he's harmless at best.
Why am I getting hassled by the Hunter Squad all of a sudden?
Wait, someone's hassling you?
Like, they came in asking about you, man.
Wait, who's hassling you?
I can't have that here. The hunters, you know, the ones that are, look, the, like us, like, it switches into, like, explain it to me like I'm a 5-year-old mode, but for Tink, right? It's like, they
I
look
know
like
what a
us,
Vernulian is, jeez.
But they're all one color.
I was about Those to say guys, I know what a Vernulian is, but I'm not racist, but now you sound racist. Does color matter? He turns and looks at Gug during that part.
Like there are you come in different colors? He looks between Gug and Zug.
I mean, yeah. For folks with better adapted eyes, you know, it's more apparent. You know, if you can't see Octarine, I think that's a color.
I have not heard of Octarine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's kind of a...
It's at this point... Sorry, go ahead. I please explain Octarine to me. I'm into that. Let's go.
It's like a color, but it's kind of greenish-yellow-purple.
It's at this point that Zug's... Because Zug is dressed as, like, a wizard, right? He's got, like, a wizard hat on and, like, a full robe that has, like... tentacles coming out of the armholes.
You're saying he's put on his robe and wizard hat. Got it.
Yes, yes. But the visible pieces of Gunk, or of Zug, that you can see are, like, in this moment, turning a slightly bluer color out of what Gug is going to register as frustration with this situation, right? Turns out, Zug mood rings, right? Who knows? Maybe Gug does too, and nobody's noticed. They came to my place of business, though. You can't be bringing that kind of heat. I'm gonna have to, like, pack up, leave.
So, when you said they came to your place of business, could you... Did they tell you what they wanted?
They wanted you. They were looking for... Why? Of course, they're looking for you.
Gug, why are you having other Vanillians looking for you?
I'm very famous where we come from.
Is the snort out of one of the two trachea that Zug has. Yes. Famous. Yes. Famous. Sure. Hey, you're gonna pay for that? He looks over your shoulder and, like, the high magus is like currently like field stripping some sort of techno wizard gun, right? Like, you gotta put it back though. Are you sure he's cool?
I didn't say he was cool, I said he was harmless.
That's not the same thing.
No.
Okay.
He tried to shoot a cat cool at us.
Cause they want to ride back home, right?
The high magus will make the equivalent of eye contact, again, full faceplate on his armor, with Ferdicion, and, like, give a slight nod, and then set the still disassembled gun down, like, the spot where it was before.
Ferdicion gives a curt nod in response.
And then they'll slap their, sort of, like, their hands behind their back and hold, like, in that, like, behind the back clasp. And then begin, like, a circuit of the room looking at things. You occasionally hear sort of, ooh, in, like, a vocoder voice as they look around. Hold on. What is that? And Zug will point with one of, like, three tentacles that are coming out of the same robe arm at the VCR that Ferdicion is holding.
I am trying to get parts to repair this. You would not happen to have the artifact parts for this, would you?
And Zug will, like, look you directly in the eye, which, again, is awkward. They have, like, half a dozen of them. And, hey, no, I don't, but, like, tentacles extend from a robe arm, like, give me the VCR.
Don't break it further. I don't want to have to explain to a bunch of the people back home that this is broken.
Yeah, whatever. And Zug goes back into that, like, mode where Zug is absentmindedly fixing a thing. Air quotes, fixing a thing. While having the conversation with you, right? In this case, it's just the VCR. And you see, like, pieces coming out from under the desk. Tentacles moving at very high speeds. There's some crystals involved. There's some weird colored wires. There's various things going on while the rest of the conversation is happening, right? I said, like, no, Gug. Snake, we can't do this. You have to not bring the heat down. We can't be associated. They're gonna... No. I need you to stop antagonizing them. Can you just, like, go back? Is that a thing you could do?
No one wants that. I mean, no one here wants that.
I mean, I kind of do, though. He says he's, like, still fixing the VCR. All right.
I promise you, you would not want that.
Look, I don't know about that, but I know that I do not want those guys in here. They broke stuff. They came in here throwing their weight around, shooting the place up with their, like, all tentacle blasters. It took me days to clean this place up.
Yeah, did they give you the whole, oh, and if you don't tell me where Gug went, then, you know, we'll be back with more Vermilions to rough your place up even more. Yeah, like, they're all talk. I shouldn't say that.
They didn't seem like all talk that day.
They're not really all talk. But, yeah, they're more harmful to the native life than us, probably. Wait, I forgot to... Did you flee here? Or do they know you're here?
And there's a pointed moment of silence. The tentacles are still going, like, 100 miles an hour. Fixing this VCR.
Okay. And
there's a pointed moment of silence where he doesn't quite make eye contact with Gug. And he's like, yeah, we're not talking about this right now.
Alright. It's not. Cool.
So hey,
maybe you should get a visa. Go ahead.
Just hassling you? Why don't we just take care of them?
I think that would cause more attention than we would like. I have the feeling.
Look, here's the thing about those guys, the hunters.
Mm-hmm.
There's always more hunters. You take out one, two more show up. You take those out, three more show up. They never run out of them. They don't stop coming. They just promote people up into the colors. And you don't... You'll never be rid of them.
Huh.
Like, I think I gotta move to, like, Laszlo or something now. I can't stay here.
So, like, is there somebody else we hate?
Is there somebody else you hate?
I don't know.
The Coalition?
Sure. All right.
Is there any way to get the Coalition pissed in bads with them?
I mean, I have to assume the Coalition is not a huge fan of tentacled creatures that aren't from Earth. Seems like, you know...
Yeah. So, you just tell them they're at, I don't know, someplace where the Coalition is. They send some guys there. We kill all the guys. And then that process happens, and it sounds like things get worked out.
I have something we may be able to try from our end. I'm going to need to talk to the people back home.
Yeah, also, regarding the whole kill them all thing, that's not a great plan.
I mean, why?
I mean, they're psychic, right? Like, they take prisoners. They'll just figure that out.
Wait, can you talk to the dead?
Not right now.
But maybe.
I'm not sure if I can actually do that, Zach, so please tell me if I'm wrong. Like, I can't. Is there a psychic ability that allows someone to speak with the dead?
I don't know if there is. I think it's hilarious that... I think that Gug probably thinks that Gug could do that eventually. Right? Like, I think Gug probably has, like, a... Especially given the whole Chosen One thing, right? Gug might have an inflated sense of Gug's potential. Even more than Gug's actual abilities, right? While that conversation is happening, though, while all of you are sort of co-plotting and like, workshopping the idea of... like, triple-crossing the Coalition into a massacre, right? Zug is standing there, like, sort of flicking their eyes between the three of you, and then finishes working on the VCR, and lifts it up, and sort of pushes it forward towards Perdicion. And it looks the same to you, Perdicion? Like, seems fine.
Uh-huh. Huh. Wow, that's very good. What is the price for this repair?
I'll tell you what. You keep me looped in on this plan you have, so I know when to get out of town. We'll call it even.
Okay, I think we can do that. Yeah, the Gug has your number, so that's very easy. We'll just have them have Gug call you.
Yeah, I didn't realize I should have done a training on the phone. I thought that was...
You have to touch it before it answers. Did you know that?
I did, in fact.
Okay. Well, that's weird. Why did... Okay. We don't have that stuff back home. Like, when I answer the phone home, I just think about it. And it picks up for me. I mean, I have a person that does it, but that's not the same thing.
Some of us don't have servants at home. Or didn't have servants at home, Gug. We all answered our own phones with our own tentacles like peasants.
Oh, that seems like a mistake.
I think this was a mistake. Are you gonna... Zug will look at the high magazine. Are you buying something? What are you doing here, man? What is... Look, I gotta, like... I don't know, plot my escape, fake my death, something. But I gotta go. So...
Oh, wait. No, I came here for a reason. I'll pull out the hammer.
Okay.
Good job. I need to make it not a hammer, but be able to put it back into a hammer, because I'm not allowed to have a hammer in there. And points vaguely off in the direction of the city.
What's some horrifying thing that we managed to pull off that I can just, like, casually drop to give this guy an indication of how absurdly overpowered, like, half this party is?
Well, I mean, so, I don't know if you guys remember, and I don't know where the piece of gear wound up in the party, but Goro took the tentacle off that hunter, and that hunter dropped one of their, like, zap-zap rings.
Oh, right? Yeah.
That gave it to Gug.
So Gug has a piece of Vernulian tech that was recovered from the hunter on Gug. Okay. Or at least available to Gug. I don't know if Gug wears it around or whatever. But
I mean, knowing Gug, probably. Like, that seems like a bad idea. I'm sure Gug would do that.
That would probably be fairly impressive to this individual.
Okay. I was like, yeah, this is pretty cool. We found this on a guy back when we were... What the hell were we doing there? We, like, destroyed...
Destroying a giant... What was that? Mecha Golem thingy? I don't know.
The Mecha Gorilla thing?
Hold on a second. Turn around to the dude. Hey, what was that thing called? The dude who's browsing?
The high magus sort of... shoulders slump. And all the, like... resignation, the body posture of resignation. That was a chromium simian construct that was undergoing field tests and I would say has resoundingly failed.
Yeah, so tests. Check this thing out. I pull it out and I was like, we found this during our, like, there was a person that needed help, so, like, you know, we destroyed this chromium simium prototype. It was big. I was pretty sure that it was going to try to kill us. But, you know, Tink here destroyed it with that hammer, because Tink's absurdly powerful. And then we got this thing off of dead. Did I know that it was a Vernulian?
Yes. I think that technically Goro won both of those fights.
I disabled the giant thingy by taking its soft, squishy part out. But
yeah, and then...
This guy back here, he's
got four arms, and each of them wields a sword more powerful than the last.
That guy's over buying art supplies. That guy's not here.
Okay, the guy who's so powerful that he killed a gorilla and some other giant thing, and his four arms each wields a sword more powerful than the last. Like, he's buying art supplies. That's how little... concerned we are, and these guys aren't even actually my bodyguards. Like, don't
we're more traveling companions,
so, like, I understand that you're concerned, but keep in mind that the little one, Vernulian air quotes around little, their first question was not how do I get away from this situation, but oh, we should exploit this so they all kill each other and we live happily ever after.
So, did you pull out the, like, the zap ring?
Yeah, Mike doesn't remember what it is, and it's funnier if Gug treats it in a manner that is ill befits its station. So, like, he'll be waving, Gug will be waving it along around. Just like, look at this weird ass fancy thing that's super powerful that we picked up off a corpse.
So,
yeah.
Look at this bullshit Guga we have.
You get to the end of that, like, semi-accurate rundown of your exploits, and Zug whips out a tentacle while letting loose with the, like, the Italian grandma cursing in her native language, but for Vernulians, right? And slaps that thing away from you, grabs it, pulls it over to his thing, pulls it over to his, like, workbench area, and furiously cuts into it with some sort of, like, available laser
torch. Oh! Thing. Did that guy I knocked through a wall and then ran walked away from? He had that?
No, this is...
Yeah, that was that Verdillion fight.
This was...
Yeah, that was the guy. Yeah, yeah. That was the guy. Yeah.
I knocked him through the wall and decided, huh, alright, he's next to Goro, I'm done.
I have put him in proximity to the blender. I can now be done with this process.
It's a very tink way of going about it.
Pretty sure that's, like, moderately valuable. It's kind of pretty, like, maybe don't cut into it? Like, what are you doing there, buddy?
No, so it sort of looks like an aluminum circle, right? It's like it would be a bracelet, but it's huge, right? And Zug takes this torch to it and cuts a chunk out of it and roots around on the inside and pops something. Some little piece of technology, like a little disc out. And as soon as it hits the table, he just jams the laser torch down into it.
That seemed excessive.
They track their gear, you idiot.
Well, yeah, sure. That's what we have, like, phones for and stuff, right?
No, like, they know this was here now.
Ah! That was a good thing to make that plan happen. So now they know why you know where we would be, the Coalition.
Zug stops cursing in Vernulian and starts cursing in American. It's like, motherfucker, we're all going to die.
Again, I think you underestimate just how absurdly overpowered, like, how much main character energy these people bring to the table.
If you stand behind us, you probably won't die.
That's comforting. And we'll cut to Goro and Clementine, right? Goro, Clementine keeps bringing you t-shirts that she found. And they're, like, from the 80s, so it's, like, the big, like, wham white with block lettering t-shirts and weird phrases, right? Or, like, a Goonies t-shirt, right? She's so excited about these t-shirts. And she finds, like, a new jacket. Because hers is a little busted up, and this one looks a lot nicer. It's like, this would be great. I would love this. Oh, and look at those. And she finds, like, a stack of, like, Conan comic books, right? And she's just so excited to be going through all of this old stuff that she's never seen before. There's, like, a pile of Tamagotchis, right? Like, old toys, there's a bunch of, like, old musical cassettes. Although I believe, technically, in the actual Rift continuity, we'd all switch to laser discs slightly before the apocalypse.
Good old
laser discs. Laser discs sounds like a power one of you would have, right?
That's a Goro thing, for sure.
I don't
know.
Construct here.
Look, I didn't ask about the Vernulian reproduction cycle.
Gug technically has something that could easily be repurposed into a laser dick, right? Brain sword.
That hasn't even crossed Gug's mind until now, thank you.
Well, Gug, I'm not sure Gug thinks of the humor would probably be lost on Gug, at least initially, right? She's so excited, and I assume you are, like, sticking to mission trying to find the actual art supplies.
Yeah, I think Goro's definitely overwhelmed dealing with a teenager. He's not that old himself. I think he's early 20s. So, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And wildly ill-prepared to be taking the parental role here.
So getting massive kid sister energy.
Yes, yes. And you find, like, some... It takes a while to find the actual, like, oil paints. So you find, like, some old pastels and then, like, a box of Crayola crayons that's got almost 3/4 of the crayon still in it. And, you know, things like that, right? But eventually you do find some actual oil paints. And you've got a credit stick from the Freddy's that is supposed to be reimbursing you. It'll probably cover the thing. And you can probably buy her, like... It probably covered the paint and then some if you wanted to, like, get her something else, right? Some other... Sorry, go ahead.
Yeah, I think Goro will try to use it as a bribe.
Oh, okay.
Yes, you can have that, sure, but what's more important is that we look over here where you'll see these Crayola, these crayons. You don't really see these much often anymore.
Ooh, yeah, those are neat.
And look, even the red is still one piece.
Wow, that is amazing. And look, they taped the purple back together, so it's almost as good as new. That's great. Oh, no, this is perfect. This is perfect. Yes. Yeah, and she gets very excited. When you find your goods... She's very excited to take them up to the counter and put them down and present the cred stick herself like a full adult human person and check out the person working behind the thing is like this obviously like grizzled later middle aged like scavenger, right? like leafing through a Time magazine from like 1978. Totally bored by the process that she's so excited about. And we'll cut forward. We'll cut forward, and we're all headed back to the bus. Right? Everybody's getting back on the bus. Goro.
Did I get Zug to do something with my hammer?
We will cover that later, I think. Since it's almost midnight on the East Coast, I want to wrap this up a little bit here.
I really just want it to be able to be broken into two pieces so I can be a pedantic dick to this guy.
Yeah, that seems fine. I'll allow it.
The only thing I require is it make a cool sound when it's put together.
Nice. Can it be a three-piece hammer? Because that's funnier if it's a three-section hammer.
Three-section hammer?
Three-piece hammer. I just think it sounds funny to have the name three-piece hammer.
I mean... Two parts of the haft to clip together, and then you put the head on. You know, sure.
Excellent.
I'm imagining Tink overcome with a desire to hinge, and then has to put his hammer together like it's a sniper rifle.
I was thinking, does it come with a stylish briefcase?
Anyway, so we're all headed back to the bus. Clementine's wearing her new shirt. Hanging on Goro's wrists, now more comfortable with the whole situation, super excited to talk it through. Goro, you've got like an old shopping bag full of art supplies. The High Magus has like an orange Julius equivalent in one hand and like a shopping bag full of Techno Wizard items in the other.
We definitely got him ice cream.
Yes, there we go. We got some ice cream on the way out. Yes.
God, they still have dipping dots?
I was thinking Dairy Queen.
You don't see Dairy Queen at malls, do you?
I don't know.
Join to the absolutely. Orange Julius, yeah.
It's the same booth. Let's say it's the same booth as Orange Julius.
There you go. Yeah. I mean, technically, Dippin' Dots is the ice cream of the future, and that is where we are. So.
No more ice cream than Dippin' Dots.
Oh, that sounds horrible.
Only Dippin' Dots survived the apocalypse.
I love the Dairy Queen idea just because Pink will then persuade them to give him some milk.
There you go. That's perfect. Yes, yes.
Oh, but does Teek know that's not actually dairy?
I mean, it's going to be so awkward regardless. I can't imagine they're going to be good.
Unless Dairy Queen is now somehow a chain of literal dairies.
Oh,
that would be hilarious. To be. There's like, it's like by Dairy Queen, it's an actual, it's like a matriarchal hive DB society that runs, that keeps cows, right, and brings them in.
And if they didn't give Tink dairy, I think they would be in some sort of violation and have a problem.
Mm-hmm.
So both of those are very funny.
That would be bad for the entire mall.
Yeah.
I'd like to see Tink make scones with dipping dots.
I'll just replace the chocolate with them.
So we're all headed to the bus with our various goods in tow. I meant to try to get Gug into like a sporting goods store, because the thing I got when I asked Gug what Gug did on his days off was weapon kata, and I didn't actually get that incorporated at all.
Gug still has nunchucks. Yes. So.
I imagine Gug just constantly has nunchucks now. Just like is sort of absently twirling them at all times.
What?
And like passing them between tentacles and things.
You know how like at a certain age, you know, a certain sect of people became interested in butterfly knives, right? Like,
uh-huh.
Gug has entered that age for nunchucks for Vermilions.
It's kind of like having bones, right?
Oh, wow, yeah. And it doesn't hurt when I smack myself. This is perfect.
Yes, yes. Anyway, Kachka is, like trying to figure out how to make an old phone, like an old flip phone work. No, like Nokia brick phone work, right?
Mm-hmm.
In the background. And we get on the bus. And we're going to cut forward. It is evening, and I'm going to imagine everybody else kind of goes back and does their, like, thing at the thing. But Tink is sitting at a table in a darkened room with 8 or 9 other beings. Some of them are human people in various modes of dress. Some of them are not. And there are cards on the table being passed around, and a plate of scones is sitting in the middle of the table, untouched by the entire assembled.
I bet you.
A hand reaches out, a hand sets down their cards on the table, and reaches out over the table to towards the plate of scones, and a furry paw grabs the scones, pulls it back to his mouth, and it's the dog cop from earlier.
Oh!
And we're gonna cut there, because it's after midnight on the East Coast. So, well, that was fun. Those of you at home, thank you for listening. I hope you had as much fun with that as we did, and we will catch you in the next one.
Cool stuff. Good night, folks.
Good night.
That D&D Podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at anakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.